access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Hibbert makes this interesting point. He says, church history demonstrates that the comparatively more poor people than rich have responded to the gospel. Why? Because they have nothing to trust in. They've lost everything. Remember in Matthew chapter 19, the rich young ruler came to Jesus wanting to know what he needed to do to have eternal life. This guy had everything, position, money, he had it all, but he knew something was missing, and he came to Jesus. And in this story, Jesus is drawing this man to himself, and there was one thing in this man's life that was blocking his relationship with the Savior, and for this man, it was his riches. And Jesus said, you need to sell everything that you had, give it to the poor, and you'd have eternal life. His treasures got in the way, though, and he refused, and he left in that unsaved condition. In fact, we're told, Matthew tells us in Matthew 19:22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And that's not saying we have to sell everything, we have to become poor to be saved, but this is, for this man, this was the issue. Interestingly enough, Jesus then said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is not saying, well, he is saying it's impossible for the rich to be saved and it's impossible for the poor to be saved apart from him. Is it difficult for the rich? Yeah, again, because of their riches. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Yes, it's only because of God. Rich and poor, kings and presidents and leaders of countries, and those who don't have any job. It's impossible for them on their own to get saved, but with God all things are possible. If it wasn't for him, it wasn't for God, none of us would be saved. James puts it all in front of those who are looking with favor upon the rich and putting down the poor. He reminds them, look, you know, the rich oppress you. They drag you into court. They take advantage of you. They treat you like dirt, and they mock your faith. And now you're showing partiality to them? It doesn't make sense. But I thought these people were going to church. Well, they were, but they were religious people and not saved. And there's a big difference. And because of that, they treated the poor horribly. But here's the thing we need to remember. We can do the same. And we need to be careful. We are not to take advantage of people, oppress people. You know, in 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul said to Timothy, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There are many people who try to take advantage of us. I can't tell you the emails that go into my spam box that try to take advantage. They want my email address. They want information from me. So, oh, click on this. You owe money. You're in trouble. Or I love the phone calls I get from the so-called police department. I'm not sure if it is. I hope not. But they say, is Sue there? And I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. You've got the wrong number. Sue doesn't live here. And then they would say, well, since I have you on the line, and they asked for money. And I told this guy, I said, so you knew Sue wasn't here, right? And so now you are lying to me, and you want me to give you my credit card number so I can give you money. That is not going to happen. And that was the end of the conversation. But you see, taking advantage of people. Now, I don't know if this was an honest thing or not, but he wasn't honest about it. I can't tell you the number of calls I get. My wife is much better than me. She gets those calls, and you know what she does? Click. I talk to people. I don't know why. I mean, years ago, what did I buy? Like 32,000 magazines, you know, subscription, because it was such a good deal. I'm exaggerating a little. It wasn't 32,000. But it was a lot of them. They were going to send me all these magazines for a great deal. And they just happened to be in the neighborhood to get my signature. Like, what are the chances of that? This has to be a God thing. Yeah, no, it wasn't. Thank God my wife came home. She says, what are you doing? You're an idiot. I don't know if she called me an idiot. She might have. We got out of the deal. The person came to the door. We said, no thanks. But taking advantage of people, we got to be careful. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And I'm not saying that, you know, oh, you don't have to work. You can just sit in your lazy boy chair and God will give you everything you need. That's not what the Bible says. We work hard. That's what the Bible says, right? When sin entered the world, we have to work by the sweat of our brow. And yeah, it's not easy. But if that's what you are after, I will tell you this, you will never take it with you. You can't. But boy, you can lay up treasures ahead. And that's the wonderful thing. I'm so thankful that we can minister to so many different people with the radio, the internet, the missionaries that we support. I want to send it on ahead. I want to honor God in all we do. So the proper faith that is manifested in our lives by putting everyone on the same playing field, not exalting one above another, it should just make sense. You know, like the song we sang this morning, and again, like I said, you know, Art and the worship team, they don't know what I'm going to be teaching on, but let the walls fall down. And again, we don't see it as a huge problem today, I don't think, for the most part, but it is. But in Paul's day, in Jesus' day, they had, in the temple, they had signs up for Gentiles, you can only go this far into the temple area. Anyone who goes past this point, your life is in your own hands. And what Paul said in Ephesians is, let those walls fall down in Christ. Don't let them stand in the way. Well, look at verse 8 of James chapter 2. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. I've called these verses, this point, the law condemns our faith. And you'll see why in a minute. And if you remember back in James 1:25, James spoke of this law of liberty, just as he does here in James 2:8, the perfect law of liberty. And it's the new covenant that the king established for us to live by. Here's the thing. The eighth commandment says you shall not steal. Pretty straightforward. The law could force me not to steal. But with the new covenant, with what the law couldn't do, that is to make me share with you what belongs to me, the new covenant enables me to do so because it's the royal law. It's a law of love. I'm not going to take from you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to bless you. It's out of love. You know, in Romans chapter 3, Paul put it like this. This is from the New Living Translation. He said, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. And think about it. What does religion do? It makes us look good outwardly, and yet it's superficial. But when we come to Christ, when we're born again, what happens is God works on the inside, and what he's doing on the inside will overflow, manifest itself in our actions and the things we say. And that's really where it's all about. And as God is working on the inside, we are not to be a respecter of persons. You see, what the law could not do, Jesus has done. This perfect law of liberty, or this law of love that's in the new covenant. You think about it. The Jews were to be a light to the Gentiles, to the world, right? By the time Jesus came, they weren't a light to anyone. They were in darkness. In fact, the Gentiles, many of them believed that they were only created to fuel the fires of hell. They would pray every morning, thank God I'm not, you know, a Gentile, a woman. what has Christ done? He's given us his love. And now that love that he's given to us, we give out to others. Let me share this story with you. It's General Robert E. Lee. I didn't realize this, but from what I understand, he was a devout follower of Jesus Christ. He was a Christian. And soon after the end of the American Civil War, he visited a church in Washington, D.C. And during the communion service, he knelt beside a black man. And an onlooker said to him later, "How could you do that?" And Lee replied, "My friend, all ground is level beneath the cross." Absolutely. Don't lose that perspective. We have to remember that people are not put in leadership positions because of the jobs they have, the wealth they have, whatever. It's because of their faith in Jesus Christ, and God has raised them up. You have to have a servant's heart. You have to care for people. And it's not about us. It's about others. And that should be for all of us. In Leviticus 19:18, remember, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Jesus picked up on that in Matthew 22. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I like that. We're all important to God. We don't show partiality to this group or that group. It's the law of love, the royal law. And because we love the Lord, we obey him. You know, Jesus said in John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And I guess for all of us, let's think about this. When people look at our lives, do they see that love of Christ? I think we all would say, "I need more help in this area," right? We all do. But a wonderful thing is, that's what God is doing in us. That's what he wants to do. It's not like he's just thrown in the towel and going, "Forget that Joe guy, man. There's no way. I tried." No. He continually works in our lives. And, you know, here's the thing with respecting. When you look at the scriptures, yeah, we are to respect those who are in authority over us, the elderly, in the church, outside the church, in society. It doesn't make them better. But they're to be respected for the position that God has placed them in. It's just like in a marriage relationship. The husband is the head of the family, the spiritual head of the family. Does that make him better than the wife? No. That's just the position. In Leviticus 19:32, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God, I am the Lord." Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." And in Romans 13:1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." That's a hard one, isn't it? You look at our government and you go, "God, did you make a mistake?" Right? Of course he didn't. But you look at what's going on. We don't have to agree with what they're doing, but we have to respect the office that they hold. And there's the big difference. When you look at the scriptures, do you ever see Paul putting Nero down? You really don't. Why? Because Paul knew he was not saved, that he needed Jesus. And I think when Paul was in Rome, I think Paul laid it all on the line. And it was so clear that Nero had to make a decision to accept the truth that Jesus is God who's come to die for his sins, or to reject the truth. And Nero rejected the truth. And if you look at the life of Nero, it's like he went insane. After that, he's persecuting Christians. He's placing them on stakes and pouring oil on them and lighting them on fire and riding down in his chariot naked through these Christians who are burning. I think that's a little insane. Yeah. He rejected the truth, but Paul gave it to him in love. He had a choice to make. He didn't say, "You know what, Nero? You're a wicked leader. I hope you burn in hell. Oh, I think he just spoke the truth in love. I think it broke Paul's heart. You know how he felt about the Jews? He said, I would rather spend eternity in hell and see my Jewish brethren saved than to see them unsaved. And I can honestly tell you, I couldn't say that for you. I could not spend eternity in hell for you guys. I'm just being honest. I mean, that's eternity. I'm not saying like 7 years. And I think Paul was just being honest. I mean, Lord, help me to love like Paul did, man. That's unbelievable. James also said here that if you're going to try and keep the whole law and you miss in one point, you're guilty of it all. That's a tough one, right? We're under the law of liberty. And as we obey God's law, the new covenant, we find freedom in that. But if you want to be justified by the law, you have to keep all 613 commandments. You can't break one of them for your entire life. That's why I always find it funny, you know, I get these groups that are trying to follow the law. And years ago I can't even remember the group now. They had called me because they were excited. We were doing a prophecy update, and it was going to be about rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And I was talking about how in the tribulation period they're going to rebuild it, and they got all these things built, the oil-branched lamp and table of showbread and so on. And so this guy calls me, and he says, oh, we are so excited about that too, because we're sending stones to Israel to help them rebuild. I'm like, no, they got plenty of stones there. They don't really need more stones, believe me. And then he talked to me about the law and following the law. And I don't even know how we got on this subject. And I told him, I said, but in James it says, if you follow the whole law and yet you stumble in one point, you're guilty of all, breaking all the law. So how are you doing? And this was his response, and I love his response. He said, we're only guilty for the ones that we know. So I told him, I said, so it's better that you don't even know any of them, right? Because then you won't be guilty. If you don't know them, you're not guilty. And he didn't have an answer for that. That's sad. The only way we can get into heaven by our own efforts is to be perfect. How are you doing? We blew it. I'm sure we blew it this morning, right? That's the wonderful thing about our Lord. He died for all our sins, nailed them to the cross of Calvary. He's given us his righteousness as he took our sins. And I realize, you know, people would argue, oh, man, you're making it impossible to keep the law. Exactly. Exactly. That's the point. You can't keep it for justification, for salvation. There's only one who's done that, and that was Jesus. Then what's the point of the law? Do you ever wonder that? What is the point? To drive us to our Savior, to show us who we really are. When you first got saved, you realized you were a sinner. Most of us did. All of us did, hopefully. But as you grew in the Lord, don't you see yourself even worse now? What happened? Well, as you read God's word and you see how holy and righteous he is and you see how you are, wow, that's what God has done for me. You see, the law was the thing that drove us to our Savior. Moses brought the children right to the border of the promised land, the lawgiver. And Yahshua brought us into the promised land, the children of Israel. The law can't save. It condemns us because we fail. The new covenant, the law of liberty, the law of love, brings us in. And we shine for Jesus. All my sins, all my failure in keeping the law was paid for by Jesus. And I enjoy the liberty that he's given me. And I serve him. I obey him out of love, not the law. Because the law condemns your faith. Let's get to verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the conclusion of what James is speaking about. And what he's saying here is that someone who shows consistent mercy to others demonstrates that the Spirit of God lives in their heart. They're born again. And they have passed from death to life and will never come into condemnation. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This action doesn't save them. It's the evidence for their faith. And it's a big deal. It does matter. And God put this here for a reason, and he's saying we need to apply this to our lives. I shared this story with you on Thursday, but it really just drove home this whole point. Gandhi shared in his autobiography that in his student days in England, he was deeply, deeply touched by reading the Gospels, and he considered very seriously becoming a convert to Christianity because he saw Christianity having a solution to the caste system that divided the people of India. And once you were in a caste system in India, you couldn't move up to a higher level. You were stuck in it. So if you were in the lowest level, like the untouchables, you could not move up. So one Sunday, he attended a church service and decided to ask the minister for enlightenment on salvation and other doctrines. And when Gandhi entered the sanctuary, the ushers refused to give him a seat and suggested that he go elsewhere to worship with his own people. And he left and he never came back. And he wrote, "If Christians have caste differences also, I might as well remain a Hindu." How sad. We need to live out our Christian faith in such a way that it draws people to Jesus. It doesn't push them away from Jesus. Less of me, more of him. More of Jesus in my life. That's what I think we all desire. And I'm not talking about compromising our faith. I'm not talking about condoning sin. What I'm saying is, can you love people? When the woman who was caught in adultery was brought before Jesus, what did he tell her? Go and sin no more. Okay, you've come to that faith now. Now your life has changed. And that's what we bring to people. We bring people to Jesus. You know, what we try to do is we try to, you know, we're told to go fishing, right? To bring the gospel message to people. But we try to clean the fish. Where in the Bible does it say we clean them? We don't. The Holy Spirit does. We bring them to Jesus. So we show the love of Christ to them. Can you show the love of Christ without condoning their sin? Absolutely you can. Because as much as they're a sinner, you could share with them, you're in the same boat. My sin may be different than your sin, but Jesus died for my sin just as much as he died for your sin. You see how you can show them? But what ends up happening is we become condemning. And you've got those groups of people that are out there, God hates fags. I just want to smack them. I'm sorry, that's wrong, I know. But I do, because God loves them. Didn't he love you? Doesn't he love you? Yes, he does. When you were still a sinner, he died for you. So why would he hate this group of people? Because you don't like their sin? God doesn't like sin at all. You see, we place different sins. I guess whatever, you know, rocks our boat, whatever bothers us, that's a bigger sin than this one. But it's each of those sins will keep you from God. There's only one who can save you, and that's Jesus. So faith is proved by love. Let people see the love of Christ in us. Let's talk with them. Let's get to know them. It's amazing when you start talking to people, many times what they will just unload on you. And sometimes it's like, wow, I never saw that coming. And they're, all of a sudden, God is just working on their heart. Does that mean they'll accept Jesus at that moment? Not necessarily. You may be the first one, or the second one, or the third one who's shared Jesus with them. What point will they get saved? I don't know. God does. Our responsibility is to go and share the gospel, the love of Christ with people. And I'll tell you what, you look at this world today, and what are people looking for? Love. I mean, look at all these dating services, right? Why are there so many? And I'm not picking on them, but I'm just saying, why are there so many dating services out there today? Because people want to be loved, and they're looking for it. And I will tell you, the only place you will ever find true love is Jesus. I'm very blessed, and I'm sure you are too, but I'm blessed with my wife. You're blessed with your spouse. It's a wonderful thing. But the love of Jesus surpasses all. And God says, I am pouring my love into you, and you pour that love out to others. Faith is proved by love. Let's pray. Father, that's a tough lesson, Lord, because we can allow so many things to get in our way, prejudices about the way people dress, look, whatever. Help us to tear those walls down and to reach out to people, to be open to what the Spirit is showing us, to share the love of Christ with all people, not to let anything get in our way. Help people to see the love of Christ, not only in us, but through us, Lord, as we reach out to people. There's a world of hurting people. There's people hurting within our families, people hurting within our communities, our state, our nation. Help us to reach out to people, Lord, wherever we go. You bring people across our path all the time. Many times I don't think we're looking. Help us to keep our eyes open, our ears open, and then be sensitive to your Spirit's leading as we minister. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.